Amen, amen. If I can have some, let me get four students to come on up here. I need your guys' help. I need you to help me out. Just first four students, come on up. If you can start over on that side, Melissa, and give one sticker to each person. I'm going to give everybody information and instructions because some of you might need some details. We talked about details yesterday in our men's Bible study. And then let me get one other student. Come on, first one student. Come on, jump up. Just in case, if you do not have a pen, just raise your hand. And this would work out great if everyone would participate. So if you don't have a pen, just raise your hand. Maybe this person next to you, you guys can share. And on that sticker, I would like to ask you to write down one thing that you, again, one thing that you have learned from God. From God's word, God's an experience with God, an experience in church, something you've learned from another Christian. Just it could be one or two words. It doesn't have, again, it's a real small sticker, so don't worry about it. If it's just one word, that's fine. Just something that you have learned from God's word, an experience with God, an experience in church, from another Christian, a brother or sister in Christ. And just jot that down. So there's no right or wrong answers. It's just something that you experienced. And so we're going to have you to do something with those stickers here in a little bit. So everybody got a pen? If you don't have a pen, look to the person right or to the left of you. And just ask them to share. So thank you, Jesus. So this month we're talking about mentoring, mentorship. And today's title, Mentorship Requires a Relationship. If I can get slide one, please, Joe. We've been talking about passing the baton. Mentorship means the influence or direction given by a mentor. Well, what's a mentor? One who is a trusted guide. An experienced guide, an experienced teacher. That's who a mentor is. So a mentorship is the influence or direction given by a mentor. And so we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Amen. I got my baton here today, and so we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. There's a relationship there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. How many other times are there in a day? Just a night and just a day, right? Okay, just want to make sure. Number verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. There's some emotions in this relationship. Mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, give us revelation that we may receive what we need to receive to apply to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So there is a relationship here. He calls him beloved son. He is mindful of his tears, of Timothy's tears. He greatly desires to see him. He remembers to pray for him night and day. He wants to be filled with joy when they're reunited. He even remembers of his genuine faith. The faith that was seen in his grandmother and also seen in his mother. And then he says, I am persuaded. It's in you also. He's seen it. There's confidence there. So I'm not sure how many of you ever felt where you receive a notice or you receive a phone call where someone says, I greatly desire to see you. Now, maybe nobody talks to you that way, but, you know, I just can't wait to see you. You know, I mean, it should ought to make you feel good. I really miss you. Mindful of your tears. Let's go to the next slide. My first point is mentoring is a relationship. It's a relationship where one pours into the other. And then actually, you can actually be in a relationship where it switches. Because it's not that, you know, the person you're pouring into is just some novice person that they don't know anything. You ought to be able to pour into somebody, but have the humility to receive instruction and receive advice. Any one of us in this room who think, I don't need to learn from anybody in this room, is the prime candidate who needs to humble themselves and begin to learn to be teachable, to be humble. And so here, this mentoring is a relationship. I can't teach or train or disciple someone I don't know. Someone who won't let me get involved in their life or in their space. There needs to be a relationship. This requires a relationship of trust, a relationship of submission to be taught. You got to be willing to be taught. I mean, I have substituted in this Camden County school system, and there are some kids that they just were out to lunch. They couldn't care less that who I was. I was just a substitute, and to them it was just sleep time, you know, and that was it. They could care less. It's difficult to teach someone who doesn't want to be taught. It's difficult to pour into someone who doesn't. Hey, no, don't be pouring your junk on me. No, I don't want to hear that. I already know enough. It's difficult to do that. So this mentoring, it does require a relationship, a desire to follow and learn. Imagine if Jesus, when he went to all the 12 disciples, and he went up to one man named Matthew, who was a tax collector, and Matthew says, nah, you know, see the hand? No, I'm not going with you. I'm working. You want me to follow you? No, I'm not walking. I'm not walking. I'm not following you. I'm working. Leave me alone. He could have done that, but that's not what he did. He left his task, he left his job, and followed Jesus. There ought to be a desire to learn and follow. Now, Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, let's go there real quick, because we find that this is where Paul meets Timothy. If there's going to be a relationship, there's got to be a meeting point, right? So Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him. Well, that's a close relationship right there, but we're not going to get into that. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, see, listen, I want us to find this here, that there was a certain disciple. Timothy was already there. He was already living for the Lord. So it wasn't just somebody that Paul just decided to take on a missionary journey. Let's see, let me just go ahead and take you because I don't know you. No, that wasn't the case. Let's go on and read again. It says that the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Spoke well of who? Spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take Timothy along on the journey. You see, he was son of a Jewish woman who believed. Her faith impacted her son's life because he was already a disciple. That word disciple means a learner, a learned one. He was already wanting to learn. He was already wanting to follow. Hey, teach me some things. That was Timothy. And so when he finally met Paul, Paul recognized where he had received knowledge of the gospel. It was from family members. Think about this. Your family members, whether they're older or younger than you, again, it doesn't matter if you're old or younger, because the young family members can teach the older family members some things. The moment that the older people think that the younger people can't teach is the moment that the older person needs to go back to school. School of faith or, you know, school of learning. And so Paul recognizes that he has received knowledge from his mother. Now, Paul wanted Timothy to go with him on a mission trip. Why? Because he was well spoken of. They were of the brethren, of the other Christians, they spoke highly of Timothy. So Paul thought, I want to take this guy. You highly recommend him? I want to take him on a mission trip with me. Let's go. Now, his father was Greek. That was the reason why Timothy wasn't circumcised. It was a Jewish tradition that the Jewish children, the boys, would be circumcised. It was a Jewish tradition to do so, but his father was Greek. Maybe that's why he wasn't circumcised. Now, this is all we know about Timothy's father, so it'd be safe for us not to go come to conclusions and say he was a wicked old man. He just, rejected his son, didn't train his son. We can't do that. We can't go there because this is all we know about the father. So let's be safe. We'll talk about that some other day, maybe. But 2 Timothy, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, the word genuine means sincere, not false, not pretending. So Paul says, Timothy, I remember, I recall your genuine faith, sincere, not pretending faith. Faith, your moral conviction, your truthfulness of your service to God. I'm calling to remember that's in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois. Now, it's interesting because I really didn't see this before, but the Lord's saying he is actually calling out these ladies' names, giving us a picture that he knows them. Giving us a picture that it wasn't just a regular grandma, but it was his grandmother Lois. There's an importance that the names are given. Grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded. That word is in the Greek is pitho. Convinced. I have full confidence it's in you also. So Paul is recognizing the faith in his grandmother, the faith in his mother. What kind of faith are you transferring over to your children? What kind of faith are you transferring over to the family members in your home? Are you willing to disciple them? Are you willing to lead them? Are you willing to show them? Because a lot of times we can just do a lot of talk, but if our life doesn't back it up, all of what we talk doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Remember the person a couple weeks ago I shared with you? Person who said, hey, Pastor Rick, you need to talk to my son. Tell my son that he needs to go to church. And I thought, well, how often do you go to church? Well, that's not the case. Don't, you know, I try to go. Well, listen, if it's not important for you to go to church, how do you expect it to be important for your son to go to church? You got to lead by example. You got to lead. You got to show why there's an importance. If you're telling me to tell him that, hey, there's an importance, Timmy, to go to church. Well, hey, my mom doesn't, so why should I go? I remember my mom would, you know, wake me up, you know, and open the door a couple of times and scream my name, you know, get me to wake up and have me go to Mass. And as I got older, I realized, wait a minute, Dad's not going. Why do I have to go? Wait a minute. My brothers aren't going. My sisters, they're not going. Why do I have to go with you, Mom? And then I guess because I was the youngest of seven, the brat, I always got what I wanted. But anyway, the youngest of seven, I think she was just fed up of fighting with me. So less and less she opened the door to wake me up because I was just being rebellious. But what kind of faith do you have? Do you have the kind of faith that it would persuade someone? It would convince someone? Someone would have confidence it is in you also? Think about that. Are you willing to disciple someone? Paul was willing. And he found Timothy and he saw that Timothy was willing because Timothy was already a disciple. He was already a learned one. And he saw that his faith, it was in his grandmother, it's in his youth. Man, it's being passed down. And we're talking about passing the baton of faith. I mean, the fact that we will pass on this message, Jesus saves. What message are you passing on to your children? What message are you passing on to who you work with or where you live? What message are you passing on to them? Are your neighbors persuaded that the same faith that's in Timothy is in you also? As parents, as adults, we have to find someone who we can pass our faith on to. To whom will we teach? To whom will we tell of God's truth and what God has done for me? That song again, I'm saved by the power of your life in mine. When we were singing that song, I was just thinking, you know, man, God, you saved me from so much. You've delivered me from so much. How can I not praise you? How can I sit there and not think about you, not worship and praise you and adore you, not give you props, not give you, you know, a spiritual high five, so to speak, for all that you've done for me? I just can't sit here. I just can't play drums and just be lost and, oh, I got to make sure the tempo is it. And, you know, sometimes playing the drums, I can get there. I got to make sure I'm not speeding up. I got to make sure I'm not loud. I got to make sure that I actually, you know, do the crescendo and play on the beat. I got to think of all these things. And me playing the drums, I can be lost in that box. Or I can go ahead and just get lost and say, God, I'm playing for you and I'm trying to do this, but God, my focus is on you. And I give you praise. Man, I've been saved from so much. I've been delivered and set free. Your spirit lives inside of me. I got it better than the people in the Old Testament. your spirit lives inside of me. You see, if we will make ourselves to be teachable, to be discipled by God and His Word, God will give us the opportunity, because we're learning how to be His pupil, His student. God will give us the opportunity and the power and the strength as we prepare ourselves to one day reciprocate that and give it to somebody else. God has given us a message. Jesus saves. And it's my responsibility. It's your responsibility of what you're going to do with it. Are you going to reciprocate all that God is giving you, is revealing to you? It doesn't just, doesn't just happen. It's not a fortune cookie. It's not a Cracker Jack box that you just get, the Rhema word or the actual word of God like that. It comes in spending time with Him. It comes in reading His word. It comes in praying. It comes in just saying, God, I'm just going to sit here. I know that I'm getting antsy. I know that I'm itching. I know that I'm just, ready to get up. But I'm just going to sit here, God, and wait on You. Tell me what to do. You know, this week, I failed in some of those things. In that very specific thing. I got up, I started doing some things, I had a long list of things to do, and then during the course of that time, I heard, for those of you that know Back to the Future, McFly, in my head, I heard that, what are you doing? Stop. Come talk to me. Come sit with me. And I had to repent and say, God, forgive me. I did all of these things. Thank You for Your mercy and Your help. I was able to do those things, but what a better outcome it would have been if I just would have sat with You first, if I just would have talked with You first, if I would just would have said, Lord, can You prepare my heart and my mind for the person that I'm going to see out on the road, for the person I'm going to see in the store? Can my heart and my mind be focused on You first so that maybe there's something that can happen between me and that person? Maybe there's something You want me to say to that person. I'm not sure if you guys ever think about that. Missing out on a divine appointment, a prime opportunity that God has placed for me to talk or meet or just help someone in need. But I totally just whizzed right by them. I just passed right by them. And I, because my mind is not on God, my mind is on what I have to do. But if I took time to sit with God and just say, God, help me, lead me. See, it's beneficial for us to sit and be a learned one of God, a pupil, a student of God, so that we can prepare ourselves to reciprocate how to disciple, how to pour into someone. I like to see several, when I hear stories and actually see certain people who are much older than me, but even much older in the faith, they're reading books, they're listening to preachers, they're watching, they're sharing with me certain things that they've learned. I mean, it's a great example of, no matter how old you are in the faith, how old you are, your age, that you're still learning. You see, we should never come to a point where we're sitting here today and what I'm saying, you have actually learned. It goes through one ear and out the other, because you say that you've learned enough. You don't need to learn anything else today. That is a very scary place to be. Receive what God is saying. That was the 2017 NCAA Championships, and in 2018, they repeated as champs. Along with the collegiate record of that same race, 4x100, of running it in 38.17 seconds. I think they said it was like a 20-something year record, and they broke it. And these men didn't do this alone. They needed some help. They needed someone to train them. They needed someone to push them. They needed someone to encourage them. They needed someone to push them some more. It was beneficial that one of their trainers, had experience and knew what it took to train and win. One of them was, slide three, Carl Lewis. Frederick Carlton Lewis, one of the few athletes who have won 9 gold medals during his Olympic career. 2 in the 100 meter, 1 in the 200 meter, 2 in the 4x100 meter, and 4 in the long jump. Lewis participated in 4 Olympic Games. He equaled Jesse Owens' legendary performance by winning 4 gold medals in a single Olympics in 1984. He is also the only man who has won the long jump Olympic title 4 consecutive times. He was in the Olympics in Los Angeles in 1984, Seoul in 1998, Barcelona in 92, and in Atlanta in 96. See, it may be difficult at times to be trained, to be pushed, encouraged, to continue to keep going. But the outcome will always outdo, always outweigh doing nothing at all. Doing nothing at all will get you nowhere. But when you are encouraged, when you encourage someone, when you are pushed, when you push someone, when you are trained, or when you train someone, the outcome, because it's by God's power and by God, by God's Holy Spirit, the outcome is always better than doing nothing at all. You see, many believers in Christ lose out in growing their faith. There could be many reasons. Falling back into sin. 1988, 89, I gave my life to the Lord. I was a freshman in high school. For about 9 months, I lived for the Lord. I fell back into sin. I fell back into doing the things. I fell back into the gang life activity. I fell back into the life that I used to live, the sinful desires. For some people, it's pride, not seeing the need to remain a disciple, because I already know. So they fall into pride. No matter your age, there is always someone to learn from, as I said. Let's go to the next slide. Point two, mentoring encourages the relationship. This is why it is helpful that we mentor others. Not just the fact that we get mentored by people, but that we mentor others, because there's an encouragement there. There's a pushing. As Paul says to Timothy in verse 6, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It was something already in Timothy. And Paul is saying, I remind you, stir that stuff up. The stuff that you got when I laid my hands on you and prayed for you. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us worthy with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It's never by us. It's not because of our good looks. It's not because of how many scriptures I can memorize. It's by God's power and by his Holy Spirit. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. There's that same word again. I am persuaded. I am convinced, I am assured of that he, capital H, God, Jesus, is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You know, in verse 6 where it says stir up, in the Greek is, I'm gonna mutilate this, but anazopuro. Anazopuro. That Greek word has three different words in it. Ana, which means to repeat or reverse. Stir, repeat, reverse. It also has the Greek word zo, D-Z-O-H, which means something alive, something living. And then per, a fire or flame. Maybe that's why in the NIV, in the New Living Translation, if you have those Bibles, verse 6 says it this way, to fan the flame, to rekindle the flame. In New King James Version, it says to stir up. You see, as disciples of Christ, we have been given a new life. Do something with it. You've been given a new life in Christ. Do something with it. Don't put it underneath the rock and hide it. Be active with it. And so Paul encourages Timothy, that thing that you receive, that fire, stir it up. Stir it up. Bring it back to a full flame. Stir it up. Paul wanted to encourage Timothy. You have something inside of you. Do something with it. God wants us to live this life that he has already given us, a life that would bring him glory and honor. Not us, but him. Remember the life that we've been given. I'm not sure how many of you can't remember that far back, but let me help you remember. If you can't remember that far back, you were dead in sin and Christ gave you new life. Your sin covered you and kept you from entering the kingdom of God. Now you can say, because of Jesus, because of Christ, because of Jesus, because of Christ, I am a citizen of heaven. I am going to be with God. When I stand before God, He will say, welcome, my son. Welcome into your rest. Why? Not because of me. Not because I have membership at Hidden Treasures. Not because I have 15 scriptures memorized. But because I have a relationship with God the Father. I'm connected to Him through His Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I think that fear, that wicked spirit of fear, really stops Christians dead in their track. You can't do it. You don't know enough of the Bible. You're not good enough. And the spirit of fear keeps them. It's like quicksand. It just swallows them up. We're not to beat other people down. We're to encourage them. Encourage them to do what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing, living by what God has given you. He's given us power. He's given us love. He's given us a sound mind. How can you encourage someone to remain in the faith, keep the faith, strive for the faith? By you being in a relationship with them and showing them how you're doing it. That's a great way. How is God teaching you? What is God doing in your life? Share that with them. Because a lot of times we can share. There are things that God has taught you last week that I hope you would find somebody and share it with, because it'll bless them and teach them something. You're probably sitting there thinking, no, it won't. How do you know? If God has spoken something to you, good chance it will speak something into the life of someone else. And so when Paul says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, this is something that God has given us. Power. That word in the Greek is dunamis. You'll find that word in Acts chapter 1 talking about the promise of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll have power to be God's witnesses. It's not because of you. It's because of God's Holy Spirit. Love. That word love is the same word that Jesus used in the book of John about agape love, God's love, and a sound mind. By the Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And so God will help us have self-control and have a sound mind. Next slide, please. Point 3, mentoring to be more like Jesus. Isn't this what Jesus did? Didn't he disciple and pour into 12 guys? And what were those guys supposed to do? Do the same thing Jesus did to them. Pour into them. Teach them the gospel. Show them the gospel. Live out the gospel. Don't keep it hidden. Not to keep it hidden. Not to keep it under a rock. Verse 12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him on that day. What assurance do you have from Jesus that you can say that you confidently know, and you are confident and believe that he will help you? Do you know something in Scripture? Is there an anchor in the Word of God that reminds you, I know that God is with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've always said this. It's one of my great verses, 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So as it was spoken about this morning, as we're faithful to God, God will continue to help us to live for Him. If I'm faithful to confess my sin and be open and transparent with God, God, I need your help. Here it was, a big dummy. I thought I could do it again on my own, but Lord, I can't. I need your help. Lord, forgive me. I know that he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So when we're mentoring to be more like Jesus, we are investing for eternity, not just in ourselves, but in other people. That's the desire. I mean, that's what Jesus modeled. If you're a Christian, I'm not going to tell you to stand up, but if you're a Christian, act like a Christian. Act like Christ. Live like Christ. And I know none of us in this room are perfect. Therefore, every day, every single one of us needs to repent. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, cover my mouth. Lord, cover my eyes. Lord, not when I'm driving, but Lord, cover my eyes. Lord, help me. God, cover my mind, my thoughts. God, help me. Be followers of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, Timothy, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. People have left. People have left Paul's ministry, among whom are some weird names, Phygellus and Hermogenes. A couple other names that would be weird to name your kids. But verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Maybe his nickname was one. But for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He was not ashamed of Paul being in prison, Paul being locked up. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. See, our responsibility as ministers of reconciliation, every believer is a minister of reconciliation. You don't believe me? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start in verse 17 and go all the way to the end of the verse or the end of that chapter. We are all ministers of reconciliation if Christ Jesus is our Lord. And we have that responsibility as ministers. So invest in others while there is still time. I really like how we see, Paul allows us to see the relationship, the mentorship that is still going on between him and Onesiphorus, that while Paul is locked up, there goes one zealously trying to find Paul, trying to find another way to minister and encourage Paul. Paul's in jail. Paul's arrested. Whether he's on house arrest or he's locked up, chained to a wall, he's arrested. I mean, he's in jail. And here is Onesiphorus, one of his pupils, one of his disciples, and he is zealously looking for Paul to find another way to minister to him. You see, this is the relationship that happens when you're mentoring someone. You're encouraging someone and investing in that person for eternity. This is why we can't hoard it. This is why we can't hoard this and put it in our jacket and not hide it or not show it to someone. Don't hoard it. Don't forget it. Keep the pattern, he says. Verse 13, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. Do what I've taught you to do. Do what you've seen me do, Timothy. Keep the pattern. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we will keep the pattern that we are seeing in the people that are mentoring us, the people that we allow. Let me just say that, share this. It should not just be your pastors. It should not just be your Sunday school teacher. Because when you look at it that way, it takes all the pressure and the responsibility off of you. What did we do earlier? We cut into the excuses. You have no excuse not to pour into somebody if God is pouring into you. If your excuse is, well, I'm just not ready, then get ready and prepare yourself so that you can reciprocate what God is doing through the people that he's brought into your life. No excuses. You have none. You have no leg to stand on to come up with an excuse that you cannot, you will not. It's just not possible for you to pour into somebody. There's no excuses. So cut that. Entrust to others what God is entrusting to you. And this is it right here. Jesus saves. This is it. I know there's more, but man, this is the bread and butter right here. Jesus saves. Because without Jesus dying on the cross and God raising him from the dead, man, we won't see God. We won't see God. So, are you pouring into your kids? Students, are you pouring into your parents? The life that you live, the words that you speak, your actions will speak to them. What God is showing you, what God is revealing to you, pass that on to someone. Believers who have discovered the hidden treasures found in God's word ought to share that with other people. There will be people who will fall away from Christ, just as Paul is saying. People have walked away from the faith. People have walked away from his ministry. There will be people who will fall away from Christ. And that's not God's desire. That was their desire to reject. That was these weird guys' names, Phygellus and Hermogenes. They decided there was another way to live, and it wasn't following Paul. And Paul says they fell away. It's great to see the mentorship going on in people's lives as they're pouring into people. It'd be great to see mentorship going on in your life as well. See, many are trying to live life without Christ, and they need to know that Jesus saves. Sorry, but a life without Christ is not rewarded with heaven. Everybody doesn't go to heaven. They might have that kid movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven, but everybody does not go to heaven. People decide to follow Christ or reject Christ. We have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves to learn. Last slide. We have to prepare ourselves to hear and learn how to mentor, how to disciple others. And I finish with verse 16 and 17. But hear this, mentoring, meet with someone. It starts with meeting. And then from there on, the relationship starts. You share, you grow together, and you're passing it on. You're passing on what Paul was passing on to Timothy. That pattern, hold on to that pattern. The thing that you saw me do, the things you saw me teach you, Timothy, hold on to that. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, it says, but God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with even the worst sinners. Paul was recognizing himself as the worst of the worst. Humility. It'll take you great places where God wants you to go. So he says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. You see, here at Hidden Treasures, we got a vision. Our vision is to discover God's purpose for our lives, develop godly character, develop relationships, and deliver God's message of hope. Hidden Treasures is not for people in Hidden Treasures to hide the God's treasures with them. It's so that we can share it with others. This country has too many, this county has too many people, and this country too. But this county has too many people who are lost for all of us to just come up with the excuse of, we'll just talk about it amongst ourselves. We'll just sing about it inside church, but we won't do a thing about it outside these walls. That can't happen. That can't happen. This is not why Jesus came. So you know those pieces of paper that I asked you to write those things down? If I can get some teenagers to help me real quick. No? All right. Don't help me. Don't help me. If I said, I'll give you money. Yeah. Go ahead and take one over there. You got your little piece of paper? You got to have your little piece of paper. All right. Go over there to that section. Melissa, go to this section. I need someone in this section here. Right here? Right here? Someone right here? Or Ezra, you got your piece of paper?
Yes.
Okay. And you can go over to that, the gray section over there, the gray chairs. Not the gray-haired section, just the gray chairs. All right, this is what we're going to do. Again, I prayed about this because I was like, Lord, this site seems kind of corny, but this is a good way to put into practice instead of just thinking about it. Oh, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. No, we're going to do it today. There was something you wrote on that piece of paper. Hopefully you wrote on that piece of paper. All right, don't cheat. No excuses. Write on that piece of paper something that you learned. Put it on this baton. Pass it. Okay? Students, do that right now. They're going to put that piece of paper, that sticker, on the baton. You didn't get stickers?
I kind of already started.
All right. Here's another one. Here's another one. Get involved. Here's another one. You want to take this to him? Give this to him over there. All right. We're going to pass it. Go ahead and pass your baton, students. Pass it on to the person in front of you. Put that sticker on and pass it. While you get that baton, at least read one of them. Not your own, but somebody else's sticker. At least read one of them and pass it on to the next person next to you. Huh? No, you're done. You're done. You can go ahead and sit. Pass it down. Students, you can go ahead and sit down once you've already passed it, because everybody else is just going to pass it around. We need to pass the baton that Jesus saves, that God delivered me, that God set me free. I no longer drink alcohol. Praise God. I no longer do this. I no longer spend my money doing that. I no longer go there. God has delivered me. I am no longer afraid. I no longer. There are people who don't even leave their house because they are so afraid of what can happen to them. And that's what fear does. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Make sure you read what's on that sticker, at least one of them, and then just pass it on. Joe, go ahead and play a video. I just want to encourage you. The message that we need to pass on is Jesus saves. The message that we need to pass on is what has God done for us? Michael, you can have a seat. They're good. They're just going to pass it around. The message that we need to pass on to others is what is God doing in us? What is God revealing to us? And we have no excuses. Go ahead, Joe. Father, we just come to you, Lord. We thank you as these people are passing the batons, Lord. They're passing on, Father, what you have taught them, what they've learned, Father God, from your word or from some other believer or an experience with you. God, I thank you, God, Lord, that you see us fit to be ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people who are lost to a loving God. Reconciling people who are lost to know, to hear, to see that there is a God who loves them and a God who sent his son to die for them and a God who raised his son back to life to give them eternal life. God, I thank you. And I pray, Father, that you help us, Lord. Lord, that this little act, Father God, of just passing this plastic PVC pipe, God, it means more than that, God. Lord, that we would see ourselves pass on to others, pour into others what you are pouring into us. Lord, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.